Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Arroyo Grande. This is our council meeting, and this is Tuesday, February the 25th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Here.
Councilmember Costello?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Item three is our flag salute, and as you saw when you came into the council chambers, we have Cub Scout Pack 13 here and ready to go and lead us in our flag salute. And if you would please remain standing, Dr. Mayor Harnish is here from Baha'i Faith to do our invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. O God, make this assemblage radiant. Make the hearts merciful.
So that some of you, yes, sir, like you. Okay. I know some of you have a lot to say, so let's hear about your pack and all of the exciting, fun things you've been doing. Who wants to start it off?
Okay. I like leading them in general. I'm a den chief for their pack, and I enjoy leading them on the right path.
Good.
I enjoy the fun things that we do in Cub Scouts.
I enjoy everything we do in Cub Scouts and helping my leaders and the pack leaders.
I like being a Cub Scout because we help other people.
I like being the Cub Scouts because we get to earn badges and stuff.
I like being a Cub Scout because we get to go fishing a lot.
I like to be in Cub Scouts because we do lots of hikes, and I like that.
I like Cub Scouts for the Pinewood Derby.
I'm a new Boy Scout, so I don't have anything to say about Boy Scouts yet, so I'm just going to say something about my Cub Scouts. I love the thrill of getting new badges in the Cub Scouts.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very well done. So... All right. Well, thank you so much for being here and leading us in the flag salute, and we hope you'll come back and do it again for us. Will you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think we have some future council members there. I'm not sure. Okay, moving on in the agenda, item 5 is agenda review. 5A is closed session announcements. The council did meet in closed session on February the 11th. We discussed two issues regarding real property negotiations and also a labor issue, and we have no reportable action out of closed session. IB, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6, special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any item that is not posted on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on matters not posted on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward on any item not on this evening's agenda? Anyone? If you would please come up to the podium, let us know who you are.
name's Bob Dougherty. I live in Rancho Grande. And recently a chain link fence was erected, very unsightly. I didn't know if there's permission was granted or not. Between the Walmart parking lot on the northeast corner and the Rabobank proper lot, they put in a chain link fence across there, which is not done anywhere in that area. They have put a very nice decorative fence. They're in the process of it in front of that building on the roadway side. I feel that same decorative fence theme should have been continued on the backside. Very unsightly looking for that area. So I just thought I'd mention it to them. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Once again, items not on the agenda this evening. Okay, we will close community comments and suggestions, and we'll move to item 8, which is the consent agenda. If you're following along, the council will be considering consent items 8A through 8L. And this is normally a group of items that the council approves in one motion, unless there is an item on the consent agenda that a member of the council would like to pull for further discussion, clarification, or an independent action. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any of the consent items. If you're following along once again and you would like to comment on consent items 8A through 8L.
Adding a new chapter 25 to Title 13, regulating legal discharges and illicit connections, and adding new sections to chapter 6 or to Title 16, chapters 08 and 68, regarding design requirements for post-construction stormwater compliance.
Okay, thank you. Now you know why I asked him to do the reading of those things. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Moving on in the agenda, item 9, public hearings. We have none. Item 10, continued business. We have none this evening. That takes us to item 11, new business. 11A is consideration of a request to send a letter to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors in opposition to hydraulic fracturing in San Luis Obispo County. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Yes, this item was requested to be agendized by Councilmember Barnage last month. And as you mentioned in the title, it involves a request to send a letter to the County Board of Supervisors, similar to the one sent by the City of San Luis Obispo, in opposition to fracking, which is the term that's normally referred to in the county. The as you know, this is a fairly controversial issue nationwide. Currently, proponents cite the benefits that has occurred in terms of energy independence. Opponents cite a number of potential environmental concerns. Staff has attached, the request was submitted from Kevin McCarthy, who represents the Aurora Grove Clean Water Advocates. And we've included in your staff report some information that they provided. Staff's only concerns with this issue is that we really don't have expertise within staff to provide a recommendation on this issue, and it appears to involve an issue that does not have a direct impact on the city, given that that fracking isn't allowed within the city limits. But with that, I'd actually like to refer to Councilmember Barnage to see if she wants to add anything to that before we get into deliberation, since she had requested the item be considered.
No, I don't think there's anything to add. I just would like to hear from the public and then from the council members. Thank you.
Well, before we get started, I want to thank you for bringing this forward. I now know more about hydraulic fracturing than I ever thought I would. Okay, obviously, we think we know why you're here. So we're going to open this. It's not a public hearing, but clearly an important issue in our community. So we are going to open it up for public comment. We do have a process. We would like your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. And once again, please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward on 11A? This would be your opportunity.
Good evening, members of the City Council and City staff. My name is Kevin J. McCarthy. My wife and I live on Garden Street, and we're members of the local group that Mr. Adams spoke of. And we appreciate you putting this on the agenda this evening. There's a quote attributed to the Native American Ojibwe people that says, "We do not own the land, we borrow it from our children." And I think the thread of that wisdom runs through our topic this evening. We are working with numerous groups at a state level to place a moratorium on fracking in California, but as you know, we are working at a local level to try to prevent hydraulic fracturing in San Luis Obispo County. And we are chiefly concerned about the use of and potential contamination of our water supplies by oil exploration and production. It was when we learned that such a threat existed to our most basic necessity, water, that we became actively involved. We are here to ask your help as our local body of elected representatives. Is our local area threatened? Actually, it's unclear. But we don't want to wait for the oil and gas industry to affirmatively answer that question. In southern Monterey County, we have the San Ardo field. To the south, we have the Santa Maria and Orchid operations. Freeport MacMoran, the latest Price Canyon owner, is asking to drill 350 new and 100 replacement wells. And in the Wasna Valley, a conditional use permit has been requested for drilling exploration on the Porter Ranch. And the Mankins Ranch issue of previous controversy is, as I understand it, in an appeal court. Aquifers do not stop at county lines or city limits, and we have experience and history from other areas on which we base our concerns. The industry argues that fracking is safe, yet they obviously have a vested interest. They also lack adequate longevity with new unconventional stimulation technologies to prove this, and California geology presents a different set of challenges as well. We have all witnessed the major disasters that the oil industry has wrought after assuring safe practices and while being under the jurisdiction of regulating agencies. Even our Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources admits that they do not have enough manpower to fully inspect and...
Keeping your comments brief. Okay, with everybody's acknowledgement, I'm assuming there are no other speakers then. Just kidding. Okay, who's next?
Tom Murray, and I'm from rural Arroyo Grande. I'm not from inside the city limits, but I still claim it as an address, and I know a few of you folks. One of Steve's concerns is that it's outside the scope of the city, but, you know, I sit on LAFCO, and I recall during the Los Robles del Mar annexation, which is also outside the scope of the city very aggressively pursued what it perceived as its interests in terms of resource protection. And so I believe that there's a precedent for getting involved in this kind of dialogue. The other point that I would make is, according to a recent news report, the CEO of ExxonMobil sued to prevent fracking in his neighborhood. That has got to tell you something. I believe that he's offering you a deal that I really don't believe this community should take. And the deal is, you know, we may bestow upon you a few jobs and some wealth, but what they don't really talk about is how they're going to take the resources. It takes huge quantities of water to extract. It injects unknown chemicals that are proprietary, and there is plenty of evidence on the table already that there are real risks associated with this. And even though those risks may take place outside the city, and with slant drilling and other kinds of techniques, I'm not so positive that's the case. I believe that the effect on the aquifers can have a very direct effect on this city. And Lord knows, in the worst drought that we've seen, hopefully we see some rain soon, but we still will be dealing with these limited resource issues. So I would really urge you to issue a strong letter in support of banning fracking in our community. We have a long history of doing things like this. We saw a 5-0 vote on the Board of Supes on the aforementioned issue relating to the wells in the Wasna Valley. That was a bad project. I think everybody here could see it was a bad project, and everybody sitting on the Board of Supervisors right and left was able to see it was a bad project. And so I would encourage you to do exactly what the previous speaker said, which is to be proactive, send a strong message, and thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Ladies and gentlemen, we do not do applause here. This is a business meeting. Please feel free to come up and speak. but that's what we do, okay?
My name's Jeff Sauer. I live on Nelson Street, and I have about 3.5 minutes of comments, so I'm going to read them really quickly. Until about a year ago, I was like most people and didn't know anything about fracking. And I've read a great deal since then, news articles, scientific studies, and a lot of propaganda. It's not always easy to distinguish between the facts and the fiction, but I want to share with you a little bit of what I've learned in the things I've read. I'll start by noting that there are two positive advantages to fracking. One is domestic oil. First, I support energy alternatives that help our country become less dependent on foreign oil. If the oil produced from fracking in the U.S. stays in the U.S. and isn't sold to China, then one would have to acknowledge that fracking can help us become energy independent. The second advantage is jobs. I don't specifically know how many jobs a typical fracking well creates, but there is no doubt that significant labor is involved. Those are the two advantages to fracking. There are some disadvantages. The first is water. Fracking requires water, too much water. In fact, the average fracking well requires between 2 million and 13 million gallons of fresh water. This is locally sourced water that, instead of being used by local families and farmers and businesses, it's permanently contaminated. The second disadvantage is the toxins that are added to the water. It's not just water that's injected down below the surface. Toxic chemicals and acids that speed the fracking process are mixed into the water that is injected underground. I'm not a chemist, but the chemicals that are included in the fracking liquid, like formaldehyde, benzene, and methanol, to name just a few, are chemicals that are known to be hazardous to human health. They're not good for wildlife, they're not good for plant life, they're not good for humans. The third disadvantage to fracking is contamination. Fracking threatens our freshwater supply. As the previous speakers talked about the threat to the aquifer, it's not limited to city limits. There's fracking going on in Orcutt that can affect San Luis Obispo or Morro Bay. The aquifer runs beneath all of us. The YouTube videos that some of you may have seen of people being able to turn on their kitchen faucet, all due respect to Dogger, but they are completely understaffed and unable to truly regulate and enforce code. We're at the mercy of the oil companies and are currently depending on them to voluntarily report any spills or other violations of code. We've been quietly fracking in California for 20 years without regulatory oversight. I don't want to be a cynic, but I do not trust large energy companies to self-regulate. There are a couple advantages to fracking. There are a lot of disadvantages. Because the public interest, public health, and public safety are my priorities, I encourage you to add Arroyo Grande to the list of towns who support a ban on fracking. It's the smart thing to do, it's the safe thing to do, and it's in the best interest of everyone who lives here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? I don't call on folks. It's first come, first serve. So.
Good evening, City Council members and staff. My name is Karen Spies, and I also live in the county. So I think that's kind of a unique position to my address is Arroyo Grande, and I consider myself a Arroyo Grandian. But I think that's a unique position to encourage you to write this letter to the Board of Supervisors. And I could list all the reasons that fracking concerns me, but in lieu of that, I just thought I would bring you copies of the article in the Wall Street Journal that details Rex Tillerson, the CEO's involvement in the lawsuit, and what it's really about is it's about the community he lives in. And this is about the community we live in. And how do we want our community to be? Do we want to protect the people and the resources we have? Which is what I believe we do want to do. And
Kelly will take those.
Thank you.
And we'll get copies. Okay, next person.
Thank you for letting me speak again. I'll try to do better with my time this time.
Sorry.
My name is Tom Sear, and I'm from, I'm Karen's next-door neighbor. I live up on Acero and have lived in Arroyo Grande since 1972. My kids went to school here. I feel a very great attachment to this town. On January 7th, 2014, at the first meeting of the legislative year, the San Luis Obispo City Council began its deliberations regarding a proposed letter to be written to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors advocating for the prohibition of hydraulic fracturing within the entire San Luis Obispo County. The SLO City Council wrote the letter and provided much-needed leadership and a major step in standing for the prohibition of fracking. I would like to encourage this Arroyo Grande City Council to seriously consider the potential negative effects of the hydraulic fracturing process in a place where the availability of water is already a major concern and where the natural beauty of the landscape is an attraction to many thousands of tourists from all over the state, the country, and the world, and they contribute greatly to the local economy. In my view, the question of whether to frack or not to frack is a false choice. When there is a long-term drought in a semi-arid place, choosing to frack is insanity. The process of hydraulic fracturing requires enormous amounts of water for each well, and trading our water for their oil is not a good choice. It is not logical, in my thinking, to conduct industrial-sized oil drilling with all of its toxic implications and potential threats to both the quantity and quality of the water, and the necessary destruction of the landscape, especially in a place where water is already a fragile resource and where the natural beauty of the landscape is a prime resource for the local economy. As a resident within the county, I encourage you to stand alongside the San Luis Obispo City Council and write a letter to the SLO County Board of Supervisors advocating for the prohibition of hydraulic fracturing within the entire county of San Luis Obispo. Further, I suggest that the letter be written and delivered very quickly. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you for your comments. We have some empty seats up front. If those of you in the back would like to come forward, and there's a seat up here for you.
Hi, my name is Kathy Murray. That's my husband that talked. You know him. I don't usually do this stuff, but I feel strongly about it, so I wanted to speak. San Luis Obispo is in the midst of a historic drought. We can't allow our water resources to be usurped by big oil companies for fracking. As a citizen of Arroyo Grande and of San Luis Obispo County, I urge you to write a letter to the Board of Supervisors urging the ban on fracking. Thank you.
Okay. Fracturing of our land. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Hello, council member. My name is Terry Levers. I live out in Wasna. We were active in the first go-around with the Mankins Ranch and their oil exploration out there. While the city may not have fracking within city limits, you do depend on Lopez Lake. Lopez Lake has a very large watershed. Those oil interests, in many cases, belong to oil companies now. In some cases, some of them are owned by the same companies that own the Mankin interests. They own parcels out, oil parcels, not land parcels out in Pozo area, possibly within the watershed of Lopez Lake. So I would disagree that it does not affect the city of Arroyo Grande, because I'm sure it will. Fracking uses great deals amounts of water. If you believe the oil companies, fracking's not required for Monterey Shale. They claim it's already fracked, in which case opposing and banning fracking within the county of San Luis won't hurt the oil companies, if you believe them. They do not need to do fracking, so let's just ban the fracking, and they can obtain their oil the natural ways, given Monterey Shale is already fracked, according to them. Santa Barbara is also in the Monterey Shale. Supposedly it's also fracked, but they do fracking in Cat Canyon. And so that boat sailed down in Santa Barbara. Let's not have the same problem in San Luis Obispo. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members, city staff. My name is Barbara Harmon. I'm at 216 South Mason Street in the village of Aurora Grande. I'm not here to debate the merits of fracking. I'm here to urge the council to take no action on this request for the following reasons. It is not a critical needs action plan item. Fracking is not currently permitted in the city limits. There is no conclusive evidence regarding fracking's environmental impacts. Moving forward to support an ordinance to ban its practice appears premature and lacking foresight. This request appears to be based on a dictate and not a debate. Given the numerous state and county mandates our city has had to comply with that include the housing element, the climate action plan elements, and most recently, the design requirements for post-construction stormwater compliance, it is hard to believe that any fracking proposal in the unincorporated areas would not be met with extreme safeguards, requirements, and most important, public debate. Fracking is a topic that brings about passion and emotion, but I think it is very important to keep what is best for our community in the forefront, and more importantly, to not legislate or base one's decisions on sheer emotion without debate and factual analysis. Therefore, I encourage the council to take no action at this time regarding this request. And thank you so much for hearing us out.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Hello, my name is Piper Edelman. I had the privilege of being here a few weeks ago, and I really appreciate you giving us this forum this evening. All I wanted to say is sometimes as public servants and stewards of a community, you're offered the opportunity to do the right thing and do the proactive thing and do the thing that sees into the future. And yes, this may not be imminent right now, but I think it would be great stewardship on your part to write this letter to the Board of Supervisors. And I really appreciate your consideration of this issue, and I appreciate you hearing all of us this evening. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Sure, come on up. Okay, I was actually pointing to the lady in the white sweatshirt behind you, but...
My name is Kenneth Price. I live at 554 Sombrio. And I think one of the things that has not been pointed out is agriculture. That in California, 80% of the water goes to agriculture. I don't know how that fits into our county, but it's probably a high percentage of the water goes to agriculture. So if you, in fact, like this year, have serious problems, just the cattle in this county has been a $100 million a year business. This year it's cut in half already. So it is a financial interest, and I would say err on the side of caution. You can always go back and change your mind about this letter, but at this point, I would say write the letter, let them know how we feel, and thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Okay, next speaker.
My name is Heidi Harmon. I just want to thank the council for considering a letter to the county regarding the important and growing environmental threat of hydraulic fracturing. The state is facing the twin crises of extreme drought and climate change.
I want to just mention a couple things. Water has been mentioned numerous times, and I have talked with an agent from an oil company, and he said they don't need local water. They bring their own water. Then there's concerns about damage to the roads. The oil companies pay for and fix any damage that they do, and they're quite generous about it. And then contaminating our water, I have learned that the wells only go so many feet. They do not do fracking other than 6,000 or 7,000 feet, which is way below our potable water. They also put concrete and other things around the equipment to even down that low, the animals wouldn't even drink that water. But they put easement or whatever, protect, they still put protection around the equipment so that the contaminated water won't reach the potable water way above where they're fracking. They, down to 6,000 or 7,000 feet, they can steam. They don't have to frack. And with all due respect this evening and a lot of false stuff in the media, these people don't have their facts together. There's fear, and fear works. And many people believe everything they hear. And this evening, this meeting has seemed pretty much one-sided. And before any letters are written, I don't think there's enough knowledge. I think we need to invite someone from the Western State Petroleum Association to give a speech. These people are have their credentials. They know what they're talking about. I don't think we should make that decision until we hear from them and invite them to speak at our meetings. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Hello, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I have a little...
Get a name, please.
My name is Chris Barrett. I live at 1340 Newport Avenue.
Thank you.
In Rio Grande. I have a little experience with hydraulic fracturing in the petroleum business. In the 1980s, I worked for Halliburton Services in Texas. And we did a lot of fracking there. I was right out of college, and with a little bit of training, they had me running the frack jobs in Texas. I think things are different there than they are here from the petroleum engineering standpoint and the reservoir engineering, the geology. But what we did at the time there was drilled wells straight down, and we were trained that the pay zones were limestone and sandstone formations, and they were separated by shale. Shale was considered an impermeable barrier between these zones. The oil and gas was quite deep, 6 to 20,000 feet down. What we did was we used, through some tools we put down hole, we would put a lot of pressure onto the pay zones and break it up and prop it open with sand, with using the fluid we pumped in to fracture it open. What I understand is being done now with hydraulic fracturing is quite different, and that's where the... kind of the horror stories are coming out of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. They're much shallower wells, and also in North Dakota, they're doing directional drilling. So they're going down with the drill bit and then turning it and going horizontally into the shale zones that has gas embedded. But in the past, they were fracturing in the zones between the shale. Now I understand the modern fracking technique is directional drilling into shale. And so they're drilling a horizontal bore into the shale, and they're breaking up that zone that was originally, at least 30 years ago, considered an impermeable barrier between the different zones. So I think the technology is obviously advanced, and they're doing something different. And I think until we really understand what's being done and the risks as well as the benefits is fully understood, I fully support asking for a moratorium on fracking. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
My name is Jeannie Blackwell. Thank you. And I am a resident of San Luis Obispo County, and I live in San Luis proper. And what happens in the unincorporated areas of our county impacts every aspect
of our lives within the municipalities. We all share the same water, air, roads, fault lines, and most importantly, our sacred, precious resource, water.
But that's in our packet. We've already read it.
You have?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward? No one else? Last chance. Going once, going twice. Okay, we're going to close the public comment portion of 11A, and we're going to bring this back to the council. And Councilmember Barnidge, this was your request, and so we're going to give you the honors here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like the mayor said, I did bring this forward. I asked to have it put on the agenda. I didn't actually know a lot about fracking, just what I had read in the news. And I hadn't done a lot of research, so as the mayor had stated, when we got our packet, I really dug deep, and I probably spent 5, 6, 7 hours, not all in one day, but just taking a couple hours at a time. And what I did notice was a common theme that Mr. McCarthy stated, that everyone that had all the good stuff to say about fracking, they all had a vested interest. They all were making money. And then the scientists and this was not 100%, but generally this was how it went. The scientists and the people that had no interest monetarily had a lot of bad stuff to say about fracking. And not only that, they said that we don't really know the impacts yet because some of it is new in certain areas where it's going on. And so I think that we don't really know the impacts. And because of that, I'm in favor of writing a letter to the Board of Supervisors and taking a proactive approach. I disagree that one of the disadvantages in the staff report is that it doesn't appear to have a direct impact on the city. Well, I live about an eighth of a mile from the county, from the rural part of the county, where there's big open areas where I can see fracking happening. And so it would have a direct impact on me and a lot of the neighbors around me and a lot of people in Arroyo Grande city limits back right up to the county. And so I'm in complete support of this tonight. And I'm ready to move forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to just comment on a few things that the public said, and I want to start with what Tom Murray talked about, and it was good to see you, Tom. I don't know if you're still back there, but it was good to see you. We have a habit and a great concern with things that go on around us in the county. When the WASNA project came forward and there was roadway wear and tear, and there were issues regarding that, we were quite vocal about that. We've been vocal about Pismo. So this is nothing new to comment about things that are in our periphery. That's only wise. So that's the first comment I would make. The second comment I would make is Ms. Harmon got up and talked about we don't need another ordinance. This is not about another ordinance. This is about writing a letter. And that's all it is. And the letter I would be in support of is thought of in a conservative approach. If we're going to be good stewards, we should take the most conservative approach. And what that means is, until we know the true science, I'm not a scientist, I don't pretend to be a scientist, until we know the true science, we should not move forward with something without a well-rounded idea. And maybe it's safe, and maybe it is an emotional issue, and maybe a lot of you folks here are going based on emotion. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to be one. But it seems to me that as a steward of Arroyo Grande and the natural resources, including water, which is the huge issue, that we should take the most conservative approach. So my suggestion is that we write a letter to the county that basically says, and until we have better science or until we have more definitive information, that we would be supportive of a ban, at least on a temporary basis, until the science is well thought out and well brought out. And Mrs. Harmon is also right that there needs to be a good debate about the issue. I have no problem with a good debate. That brings facts out. That's a good thing. We should never be afraid of debate. That's That's a good thing. So that being said, everything tells me right now that the most conservative approach and stewardship approach is to write a letter, and understanding quite simply that that's all it is. It's nothing more. It's a letter. So those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Well, I think my opinions are probably fairly similar to what you just heard from Tim Brown. We don't know all the facts yet, but the potential for this to be a catastrophic problem, or at least a very serious problem, is out there. Extremely important to take a conservative approach here, and I will support this crafting of a letter tonight that says we don't want any fracking to occur in the county until such time as some study go forward that says it is safe.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
I don't have a lot to add either. I do think there are a couple of facts that we do know. We do know that there are significant amounts.
Is your mic on?
And I can just turn it off. I do think there are a couple of facts that we do know. There are significantly large amounts of water that are going to be used. I think that's undisputed. And I can't imagine they can import that kind of water for any kind of a large project if this were to really take off at all. So clearly it's going to affect our aquifer independent of the potential for its pollution. I also think the other fact, and this was borne out in the WASNA condition, is there's really only one way to transport this oil. There's only a couple of places in this county that could hook up to a pipeline. Everybody else is going to transport this oil by truck, and those are going to have negative impacts somewhere, even if it's whether it's air pollution or whether it's traffic or the kinds of things that we dealt with when we reviewed it as WASNA. So I think even just those two facts would send us to take a very cautionary approach to this kind of an activity anywhere near our community. And clearly, as was noted in the WASA, this is the kind of operation that would clearly directly impact our community. So I am in support of this evening going forward. There may be a day when fracking is proven to be safer than it is, or uses less water, or we have lots of water, all unlikely. But when that day comes, then I might write a letter in favor of it. But today the facts that we do know certainly indicate that we should be taking a very cautious approach, and I'm in favor of sending this letter to the County Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I didn't spend 4 or 5 hours in front of the computer learning about fracturing to not bring pictures. So we have pictures this evening. Maybe we have pictures this evening. There we go. Okay. Several of you have commented on sort of the concepts that I'm going to illustrate. And, you know, looking through this, and I'm sure those of us who've studied this for a while realized that there is so much controversy around this. There's, you know, it's like the science for climate change for and climate change against. There are equal piles of differing opinions, but I did find some exceptions, and this one in particular shows, I think, what energy companies propose as the more accurate process for fracturing, and you'll see that what they indicate is that they go so deep into the shale bed before they turn horizontally that this is literally, in some cases, well over 10,000 feet. And they illustrate the aquifer being up in this area here. While I have this picture up, I did want to indicate that one of the studies that I looked at actually didn't come from an energy company. It didn't come from an environmental group. It came out of Duke University. They were studying this rather in depth. And they indicated that generally there's about a 1% chance that this type of fracturing would in fact contaminate a groundwater aquifer. So that's what the study said. So this is one picture of what it looks like. Go ahead and put the other one up. This is, this at least, is that I spent roughly 21 years doing emergency management training. Some of that time I spent with Councilmember Costello doing earthquake training throughout the state, and in some cases out of state, taking a good look at earthquake fault lines and looking at the dynamics of earthquake, what happens under the ground along fault zones to what goes through it in terms of any infrastructure. It does not fare well. There's been some engineering that cuts down on some of the seismic damage that can be done to infrastructure, pipes, and so forth. But in this particular situation, it would seem to me that this is a vulnerable area. So that got my attention. And then the last picture, as so many of you have said, this one really kind of attracted my attention, and this is a conservative estimate. The thing about this picture, and this is obviously from Pennsylvania, but there were so many other examples, I picked this one because what it did was show how intensive fracking is in terms of the water supply. And as a few of the speakers have indicated, to our knowledge, we're not doing this right now in San Luis Obispo County. But if it were to move forward, if it were to happen, obviously we are not in a position to lose any more of our drinking water. We're not in a position to lose any more of our groundwater. This is a water-intensive process. And even though some of the science indicated that the source of the water, in this particular case, you can't see it very well, but it actually has three sources identified. It has water that they would use from lakes and reservoirs and streams, and that makes up the bulk of what they would use, in this case, 4.4 million gallons in one well. The other comes from the water aquifer itself, and then a smaller portion would come from recycled water. The thinking here is that the water that would be extracted from the well could be recycled and reused. But from what I understand, that's a relatively small amount. They would still have to pull in more fresh water in order to do this process. So that obviously got my attention as well. So that's it. That's the end of the pictures. The I guess the rest of the story for me is I spent a good deal of time looking for objectivity. I was trying to find sort of the middle of the road. Is there, you know, someone who doesn't have a vest in energy, someone who doesn't who's not just solely into the environment and nothing else? I was trying to find some middle ground. The best I could find was a YouTube video that came from National Geographic. And in that YouTube video, they depicted the process. And then they also stated, as so many of the sources did on both sides, both the environmental side and the energy side, all referenced the federal EPA report that our staff put in our report that, for some reason or another, is taking a long time to finish. Everybody is sort of pointing to what the results of this study are going to say, because nobody knows. And that's essentially what National Geographic said. They said, here is the process. It is water intensive. It does. There are problems in terms of enforcing the site and what goes on at the site. But more importantly, in terms of its interaction with aquifers and water supplies, according to National Geographic, the jury is still out. They pretty much said, we don't know. And we won't know until there's more studies forthcoming. So I'm sort of leaning towards that right now. Even though we hear the horror stories that have existed, I think for us to focus on that as a reason for a ban or a moratorium might put us in a difficult position without some empirical data in front of us. That said, for the two reasons that I mentioned, I'm not certain that I would go so far as a ban. I could probably live with a temporary moratorium. I could certainly live with sending a letter to the Board of Supervisors requesting them to be vigilant. Vigilant in terms of any permit that they get for drilling purpose. One of the speakers indicated, a couple of the speakers indicated that fracturing is not going on in San Luis Obispo County because of the uniqueness of our shale configuration here. If that's the case and we're not doing it, I certainly don't want to see us start. So I think probably and I would take another look and say maybe, okay, we need to join forces and perhaps marshal a better position here against more thorough analysis, in support of more thorough analysis before that, before we do that. So, I think it's just a question of how we word it, but I would strongly support something that that was a letter to the board for vigilance and ensuring good responsibility and stewardship in terms of how they process all requests for drilling. I think at this juncture, that would be much more appropriate than an outright ban. So those are my observations. I'd be willing to consider a motion, and we'll see where it goes from there. Any other comments? Well, anybody want to try a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd recommend that council directs staff to prepare a letter stating that the council in Arroyo Grande is opposed to any fracking in San Luis Obispo County until such time as thorough studies have been completed that can determine whether or not this is going to affect, one, our water supply, two, our seismic issues, and three, the contamination of groundwater.
What was the last one?
Contamination of groundwater.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. Is there and a second? Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay. You're all welcome to stay for the rest of the agenda.
Which is nothing.
Or I'll give you a few seconds if you want to exit. Okay, folks, if I could ask you to, if you're going to leave, if you could depart quietly, we have more items to conduct here. All right, we're going to move on to item 12. These are city council reports. I will go first. I did attend the Council of Governments meeting, and we didn't have a very long agenda there. We discussed and heard public testimony on our unmet transit needs, and then we also looked at, reviewed, and approved our 2014-2015 Council of Governments work plan. The RTA did meet, and we only had two closed session items dealing with property acquisition and labor issues. And then the Sanitation District, I was not able to attend that meeting. I was out of town, and Mayor Pro Tem, I'm sure will have a report on that for me. And that's a good segue, and we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem.
Just go. EVC meets tomorrow, so I don't have any report on EVC. The South County Transit District has not met. I did attend the SAN District meeting for the mayor. There was actually no action taken at that meeting other than to approve the warrants. They did have, through the superintendent's report, they had no violations, that the new, as we've said a number of times, the switch over to the biological has gone exceptionally well. And the plant is operating very well and exceptionally efficiently, apparently, on chlorine again as well. So I just have that report from the SAN District, and I have no report on the Joint Powers group.
Okay. Just want to add one thing to the Sanitation District report. One of the things that we're going to try and do is actually reach out to the Regional Water Quality Control Board and ask for some support.
Asked the last report out, so I have nothing new to report on that. Five Cities Fire Authority, most interestingly, is in currently we have the ballots going out to all the parcel owners inside the Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano areas for the benefit assessment ballot, and people have until, I believe, April 4th to return those ballots. I encourage you to read the material over at home, please, and take a good long look at it, and please vote. And I don't know whether I should advocate one position or the other at this point, so I'll just say that it's out there. Other than that, fire department responded to a structure fire in Grover Beach successfully, and are operating within the constraints of the budget at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you. Before I get into my reports, I wanted to comment to Joe that I was out during Farmers Market and saw the Five Cities Fire Authority doing education, and I sat against the fire truck and quietly listened to this rather young gentleman talk about the issue, and I was pretty impressed with how they handled themselves, and people were very receptive to hearing about it and asked a lot of good questions, and I got a little shade along the way, so it was good. So, with that, Mr. Mayor, IWMA doesn't meet until next month, so I don't have anything to report there. RAC continues to wrestle with the issue of Paso groundwater and the governance for the Paso Water Authority that's going to be in the county. They've come up with a compromise that I think is going to work between the ranchers and the rural property owners. And again, it's one of those emotional issues, just like fracking is. There's a lot of emotion on both sides. But it seems to me like the farming community basically has said, we've sat on the sidelines long enough, we now need to have a seat at the table. And they're working really hard to have that come about. And so it's nice to see the proactive people up there wrestle with a real serious issue. So that's my report.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. Zone 3, they did not meet, and Homeless Services Coordinating Council, they have not met. That's the beginning of March, but I did go to a lengthy orientation for new members, and so that was really interesting to learn all about that. The Tourism Committee did meet. A couple things they talked about. The Slow Wine Association is interested in partnering with the TBID on a possible billboard, but there aren't any available. And so we are going to go on a waiting list for that. Until that time comes up, they talked about partnering with the VIA on the signage that's on the freeway. south of town and maybe partnering with them and getting actually a larger board to try to get people to come into the village and into Roy Grandy. So we talked about that. And then the new website that they unveiled a couple months ago is getting lots and lots of traffic, and they're excited about that. And if you haven't checked out that website, it's really nice looking online. Ooh, but I don't know the address. I think it's visitroygrandy.org. Really classy looking website. And they're possibly talking about linking that website up to some existing travel sites, TripAdvisor and sites like that. I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay, very good. That takes us to item 13, Council Communications. Any comments, observations?
I do. I have a request if staff can help, possibly, or anybody on council can help. I had someone that's been really involved with Boy Scouts say that they aren't able to use French Camp now, and that was an integral part of a lot of the activities that they did. I think they were managing it, and it became too expensive, and so they had to give it up to the body that had it before. And I don't know if that's the county. I don't know if it's Forest Service, but I'd like to find out and see if we could write a letter of support that the Boy Scouts would still be able to use it on occasion. So that's my first issue. My second issue was I'm trying to figure out if Mr. Murphy, is he moved out of his building down the street? Or is there, because I noticed the Christian Smart sign was down, and I'm wondering if that's going to stay down.
Just today a real estate sign went up, so we believe it's up for sale, but we haven't talked to Mr. Murphy yet to find out exactly the status.
I can't hear you, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. A for sale sign went up just today on the property, so we're assuming that he's going to sell it and it wouldn't come up, but we haven't gotten confirmation on that yet.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other council communication?
Just the gentleman that spoke at the beginning of the meeting about the chain link fence. I did see that going up next to between those two properties and a couple weeks ago.
I have a note to follow up on.
Okay,
that.
Thank you. Nothing else.
Okay. All right. Moving along, staff communications. Anything, Steve?
The forest supervisors, when giving them their permit or giving them their minor use permit, have to actually ban it if they want it banned, because once the permit's approved, they go to Dogger to change what they are going to do in that well. They do not have to go back to the county for permission. So,
and they would find that out during the permit review process? Then
no, they just won't bring it up.
Well, no, the county would if they're vigilant.
If they're vigilant, okay. They would bring it up. But basically, the oil company can say they're not going to do it, and if the county does not put a moratorium on their permit or minor use permit, they don't have to go back to the county to get permission to later change their mind. They simply go down to Dogger and change their mind, and the county will never know if chemicals are going into the aquifers or not until there's a problem. Also, with respect to the Porter Ranch, that is a minor use permit being requested, and they will be pulling millions of gallons out of the Wasna aquifers on the Porter Ranch.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We'll close the final community comments and suggestions. We'll go to item 16, closed session. We have none this evening. And item 17 is adjournment. And we're 15 minutes early from your estimate. So, all right, council is adjourned. Thank you.